I lost 120 pounds in 10 months and I was skinny. But that skinny was not healthy, even doing carnivore. Too much of everything is not a good thing. Well, I was like a size 22 and I was wearing a size 2 pants. The skinnier I got, the worse my health got, even on carnivore. My hair started falling out. I was having hormone issues. Actually stopped having a cycle.
I wanted to talk about your results, but it sounds like, did you have positive results?
Like, we are so impatient to lose weight because it is so hard and it is such a burden. And we feel like if I can just lose the weight, then everything will be fixed and I'll just be able to be normal. I was 0.1 away from being a full-blown diabetic. My mother's diabetic, my grandmother's diabetic. I remember in 1 week I saw a specialist for severe hemorrhoids, these chronic yeast infections, like gallstones. And I just kind of went like, this is insane. I am falling apart. How am I letting this happen? Like, what am I gonna be like when I'm 40? So fruit and honey for me are just like, that's the sugar triggers. Like, I think, you know, if you're a fit bro.
I'm here with my daily supply of bananas. Just get your carbohydrates from fruit and honey. That to me is the best way to get your carbohydrate.
I can't have like a little handful of blueberries occasionally. I'm gonna eat the whole container and then I'm gonna put whipped cream on it and then I'm gonna put some ice cream on it. Most people who can handle moderation were never obese in the first place. Even if I had to do it all over again, I don't know if I would lose weight the same way again that I did the first time.
And I wanna talk about now the 10 things that you do on a regular basis that gets you better carnivore results. Okay, this one is good. How much meat and fat do you eat every day?
This interview with Laura Spath will make you think twice about how you do carnivore. Now, before we get into the episode, I wanted to let you know the next carnivore challenge is now open. So if you're new to carnivore, or maybe you've been doing this lifestyle for a while, perhaps you need help with troubleshooting, side effects, or knowing how much protein and fat you need to eat. Well, every week we have expert carnivore doctors and carnivore coaches who have lost over 200 pounds to help guide you along your journey. And what I thought was really important was to have carnivore doctors coming on every week, because I know when you go see your doctor, they're gonna talk about red meat causing heart attacks, stroke, and cancer. And that's why having these doctors on board to help you is so important. So if you'd like to join the next challenge, there is a clickable link in the description of this video, or just head to academy.5minutebody.com. And if you love this interview with Laura, please feel free to hit that subscribe button.
Laura, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you have just been eating meat for 2,000 days. And in the first year of just eating meat, you lost 120 pounds. But I know your journey has been a lot of ups and downs, especially in your weight. So can you take us back to before you started carnivore? What was life like?
Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in a really rural area in Indiana, farmland for sure. And my mom baked all of our homemade bread. We grew vegetables from the garden. My dad would be hunting. He was a pastor. So we would often get donations of like a half a pig or a part of a cow. So like from local farmers who were in the church. So I was raised on this very like, definitely not low carb at all, but it was whole foods, food that you would grow. Like, I have almost no memories as a kid of like going to the grocery store regularly. It was usually like canning food with my mom or baking bread or working at, like our chores as a kid was working in the garden. And it was just very simple life. And, you know, we were a very healthy family. And when I was 11, my older brother passed away in a car accident, and it was obviously very sudden and traumatic. And I think that's my mom had always been like very fit and healthy, and she gained 100 pounds after that, which now that I have kids, I can't even imagine what it is that she went through and that experience. And to this day, like what she still goes through. And so there's this, especially like when you grow up in the church, there's this like need to comfort people with food. And I remember this, like there was literally lines of people out of our house for weeks, just bringing casseroles and trays of cookies and desserts. And like people that didn't know how to express their love and care for you were just bringing you food. And I think having this all these traumatic emotions and then eating for your feelings. And so that was a big part of it. And so I kind of went through that experience with my family. And then my mom, you know, started doing like Weight Watchers, and there was like this biblical Bible study weight loss program that she did for a while, and ended up losing a lot of that weight. And then in, this is like, you know, all my family business in 1 minute, but my parents got divorced in a pretty surprising way when I was 15. So 4 years after that, my parents got divorced, and that was really the first time that my mom had worked consistently since I was a kid. And so she was working, we were living with her, my younger brother and I, and really a lot of the cooking in that aspect turned to me. And as a 15-year-old who's trying to make dinner every night, I'm cooking stuff out of a box, and I'm doing the rice-a-ronis and the pasta stuff and the Betty Crocker box meals. And like, you know, we, this idea of eating whole foods and stuff that we grew went completely out the window when you're just eating stuff like from pre-prepared from the grocery store. And my mom gained weight. I started to gain weight. I'm going through puberty. Like, we're all kind of just dealing with stress and trauma and eating our feelings through all of that. And then I went to college and moved across the street from a Taco Bell, and I gained like 30 pounds my freshman year. And all of my meals started coming from a gas station and fast food. And it's just like that really started. Then I started doing diets and went up and down for a lot of years after that. I've tried, you know, I went and did Weight Watchers for a while, and I did the Bible study weight loss program for a while, and did, I went vegan, you know, when I was older, in my mid 20s. I had watched the documentary, the vegan documentary that came out that everybody was talking about. And so I was like, oh, this is how I need to be healthy, and I'll do that. And I lost weight. Like, all of those diets, I could lose weight. Anytime you're going through some type of extreme change, when you're stopping eating from a gas station and a fast food restaurant and you're switching to something else, you're going to lose weight. But I could never stick to any of those things. And I went vegan. I lost 50 pounds. I was spending all day Sunday meal prepping for my week. I was eating six times a day. It was just like a constant cooking or prepping or eating. And then at the end of that weight loss, you know, my hair started falling out. I was having like a lot of just completely drained. Obviously, I was very malnourished at the end of it because I wasn't eating, like I just wasn't eating a lot of the plant-based proteins. And even then, you can't, those are just not enough for, you're not getting quality animal protein. And so just a lot of lacking. And over the years, you know, I definitely was always very good at going on some extreme diet and losing 20, 30, 50 pounds even, but I just couldn't stick to it. And then I would find myself rewarding myself with a cheat day, feeling stressed or overwhelmed, like life happens. I couldn't deal with it. And then I would gain back, you know, all the weight plus some. And I went on that roller coaster really until my highest weight, which I hit in 2018.
So after you hit your highest weight in 2018, which I think was 263 pounds, right?
Yeah.
How did you find, is that when you started Carnivore?
So the weight, I only know that weight because I looked back years later at like my doctor records, and that was the weight that I hit when I like stepped on the scale of the doctor's office, because I certainly was not weighing myself in that moment. Like, I couldn't have that, face that reality myself. So I was hiding from the scale for a lot of years. I had my daughter in 2016. And I did a pretty extreme low carb diet after that. My husband had been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes when I was pregnant. And so we both knew that he probably needed less sugar. And so we did like a version of low carb. I lost 50 pounds again, rewarded myself with a cheat day, and I gained back like 70. So I had my son in, or I had my daughter in 2014. I had my son in 2016. And then he was about two, and I realized that I weighed more with him now than I did when I was going into labor with him. So like just at him at 2 years old, I had never lost any weight after his pregnancy. I used this, like my milk supply was affected going extreme calorie restriction and low carb after I had my daughter. So I was like, well, I can't do that. So clearly I still have to eat my pint of ice cream every day to like help my baby's milk supply, you know, which is crazy. So I just didn't do anything for a couple of years. And then eventually I realized I had never lost any of the baby weight, and I had gained more weight, and he was almost 2 years old. And so that was, again, I just decided I got to start another diet, like some got to do something. And keto was really popular at the time. This was 2018. And it was kind of the very beginning of the low carb had turned into the keto boom. And so it was like, okay, well, this is the thing, because I always did the thing, and started doing that. And this time, I think though, like, I mean, I know we're going to talk about it in a little bit with my husband and his journey. Like, he had almost died from diabetic complications in the middle of there, right? So we had a toddler, we had a newborn, My husband was in the hospital, and really it was because he was overweight, type 2 diabetic, and his body couldn't handle like fighting off any type of infections. And so this time we were like, we got to lose weight, we got to get healthier. And you know, my husband Chris had this motivation of, I have to make sure that whatever happened to me before doesn't happen again. And so we started doing this time. It was different than just changing our diet and eating a certain meal plan. It turned into research of, why did this happen in the first place? What about our body is unhealthy, and how do we reverse those types of things? And so what started as like keto, we're going to do the next fad diet, turned into a lot of research and a lot of trying to understand like insulin resistance and like, what does all of this mean? And like, what's inflammation in your body and what foods are causing those things? And that's where we discovered carnivore. And within like a few months, so it was over the summer of 2018 that we had kind of switched from keto and gone strict carnivore. And that was when everything really started clicking for us in terms of satiety, in terms of like, just the results were compounding, which makes things a lot more motivating. We just saw our health improving more than just the weight loss. This was the first time that we had like a lot of satiety and a lot of enjoyment out of the food that we were eating, other than like, you're not going to enjoy eating like strict vegan or salads or chicken breasts or even like a bunch of keto stuff. Like you feel so miserable doing that you can't keep it up long term. And this was the first time that we really felt good enough to do it, and also took the time to understand like, why were we sick in the first place? And what about the way that we're eating is now actually improving our health? And that really changed the motivation for us. And it's, you know, the short answer is like, that's what has allowed us to stick to this for the last 5 years, because we really dove into it as a full lifestyle.
So many people talk about this thing, understand your why. What is the reason that you're going to stick with a diet, especially carnivore? They say is quite restrictive. I don't find it restrictive. I'm sure that you don't find it restrictive. It's more liberating. But understanding the reason why you're going to do it, when it's just about weight loss, it's not a very strong why. I know that from researching you a lot, you had a lot of health problems apart from your weight. So when I've written down here, I think you've had knee problems, gallstones, back surgery, digestive issues, hemorrhoids before carnivore. Can you elaborate more about that?
Yeah, I actually was pre-diabetic and no doctor told me that. I was 0.1 away from being a full-blown diabetic. My mother's diabetic, my grandmother's diabetic, and no doctor ever told me that. I went back after we had switched and went carnivore, and I looked at my labs, and I was like, again, 0.1 away from being considered like an official diabetic. And every time I got my labs done, the doctors would say, you're fine, here you go. Like, this is also why digging into your own lab work is so important and understanding what those numbers mean. I had knee surgery simply because I had a torn meniscus because my body couldn't handle the weight that it was carrying around. And I was, you know, in my early 30s and was so overweight, my body was just kind of breaking down at that point. And I remember in 1 week, I saw a specialist for severe hemorrhoids talking about potentially having surgery. I saw a specialist for these chronic yeast infections that I was getting. So I went to my gynecologist with hormone issues and then having chronic issues there. And then in the same week, again, I saw a third specialist having a sonogram or an ultrasound done for my gallstones. And I just kind of went like, this is insane. I am falling apart. And I was 33 at the time. Like, it is wild that this is an accept, like, how am I letting this happen? Like, what am I going to be like when I'm 40? What am I going to be like? I have a toddler, two toddlers, essentially. And it was just kind of like, it is so hard to lose weight. We know that. It is absolutely ridiculous. But I was in so much pain. I was so miserable. I was so uncomfortable. I was spending so much time and money at all of these different doctors that was a huge, there's a lot of kind of like moments of why I feel like I was finally ready to take on something like this and why it worked. And you're right. It is about finding your why. And for me, just like losing weight is only a temporary reason. And it was just never enough of like, I want to be skinny. Like, I still want to be skinny, but like, it's definitely not enough of a reason. And it's changed over the time. Like, I'd say that jokingly, but it is a really hard thing to shift your mind from, I want to be skinny to, I want to be as healthy and as strong as possible. And I wish I could say that switch happened for me back then, and it didn't. It took a really long time for me to change my mindset around that and to really not just say it, but like truly deep down believe it.
What made you make that switch to not just want to be skinny on the scale, but actually want to get healthy?
I mean, definitely there was a part of me that like, oh, I want to be healthy early on, but there's still this part of you like, I want to hit this certain weight on the scale. And then I'll tell you what, I did get skinny. I lost 120 pounds in 10 months and I was skinny. But that skinny was not healthy, even doing carnivore, right? Carnivore is an amazing tool, but you also can abuse a lot of it and you can do too much of everything is not a good thing. When I hit my lowest weight of all, I was eating carnivore, but I was also over fasting. I was under eating in between. I really didn't exercise until the end. And then I started exercising and that helped me lose more weight. And so I was like, I got to do more of this. Like I'm still trying to get skinny. And even like, I know we're gonna talk about the skin stuff, but like, I just had this obsession in my head of like, if I'm strict enough, if I fast enough, if I'm perfect carnivore enough, if I work out enough, I'll lose all this loose skin and it's all going to go away. Well, I was like a size 22 and I was wearing a size 2 pants and I still had all of this excess skin. And at the same time, the skinnier I got, the worse my health got, even on carnivore, right? My hair started falling out because I was under eating protein too much. I was having hormone issues, actually stopped having a cycle for like 6 months. And a lot of it is because like your body is going through such a radical change. Like weight loss is a big change. And sometimes you do experience hair loss and hormonal changes through all of that. But I was not, even on carnivore, fueling my body properly enough to keep it healthy. And so what really shifted my mindset in a lot of ways was I got skinny, and that skinny, as skinny as I thought I wanted to be, wasn't actually healthy for me. And, you know, Dr. Bright, I know she's been on your channel, talks a lot about the fact that like women actually need fat and need a little bit of fat on their body. You know, obviously I don't believe in this like healthy at any size. I was not healthy at an overweight size, but also at the skinniest that I ever was, I wasn't healthy either, even though I was doing carnivore technically, right? I think 100% I was under eating. I was over fasting. I was, you know, exercising too much, like, but I still wasn't healthy just being that thin either. I had to then kind of figure out the balance of what's a good weight for me, for my hormones, for my hair, for my muscles, for my health. And then also like I'm not having excess fat that then makes you unhealthy in that way.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about your results, but it sounds like, did you have positive results in the first, say, 30 days of starting carnivore?
Yeah, I had done keto. And so obviously there was like some, again, when you're switching from gas station and fast food 6 times a day, you're going to drop weight. So I dropped a lot of weight pretty quickly switching to keto. And when I switched to carnivore, I was cutting out the low carb tortillas. I was cutting out the Quest bars. I was cutting out the macadamia nuts. And so those, I lost more weight cutting those things out when I went carnivore. The biggest change that I wasn't expecting, like, because the weight loss continued again, like I would just kind of cut things out. The weight loss continued. What I wasn't expecting is for a lot of the other benefits. This is where the healing really came in. Again, you can lose weight in any way. I lost weight, keto, carnivore. You know, you can lose weight. What I experienced by going strict carnivore was my knee pain went away. Like my arthritis in my wrist went away. My inflammation really went away. I had severe acne that even on carnivore, like really just terrible acne, all of that went away when I went carnivore. My digestive system, like I had been somebody who dealt with extremely terrible hemorrhoids. I took stool softeners every day for years and years and years. And all of that completely went away and cleared up. Like at one point I was having a consultation to have surgery. And that all completely went away and healed. And that was from cutting out the vegetables. I didn't realize, like, just coincidentally, Chris cooks for us and he had been making everything carnivore. He was pretty sold on carnivore. And I was like skeptical at the time. And he just cooked for us for a week where I just ended up eating carnivore for a week unknowingly. And then at the end of that week, I had a big taco salad where the only difference, the only non-carnivore thing in it was like a huge pile of lettuce. And my gut just got like rock hard, solid, super bloated, major digestive issues, like totally tore me up, literally. After eating that. And I was like, well, okay, maybe there's something to this carnivore thing. And I think that's a huge reason why I've stuck to carnivore more, is because of a lot of the negative side effects that a lot of the vegetables and plants and other foods were causing me that I hadn't really ever considered before.
What about the first 60 days or 90 days? Was there anything else happening in those next few months for you?
I think after the 60 days and the 90 days, immediately it was the digestive and the acne and all that stuff. I think after 30 and 60 days is when I started having almost like a fog that was lifted off of me. My energy really improved. My mental clarity really improved. I would have never told you that I was somebody who dealt with anxiety before. And after about 60 or 90 days being carnivore, I went like, wow, I'm pretty sure I've been dealing, like, I'm not just a high strung person. Like, that was just anxiety that I was dealing with, this like constant overwhelmed feeling that I didn't know I had before. And I've always been somebody who's needed a lot of sleep. You know, I would come home from kindergarten and take a nap. And, you know, when I was pregnant, I would sleep 10, 12 hours a day and take a nap. And I just have always been somebody who needed like 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night. And for the first time I was like waking up in the morning and I didn't feel like I needed a nap anymore. And now I can't even count on one hand the number of times that I've had a nap in the last 5.5 years, right? 5 years or so. I think that took a little bit longer. And I kind of just like realized, wait a second, I can think better. I'm not so stressed out all the time. I'm not so overwhelmed. And that did take a little bit longer, but I didn't realize that about myself, that I was dealing with those things previously.
Absolutely. It's so interesting. Like when I speak to so many different carnivores, you see the results. So people say, oh, like Kerry from Homestead House said the first day of going carnivore, he stopped snoring. And then all these other benefits that people just keep on seeing, you know, the brain fog, the memory, the energy, weight loss, digestive issues, all these different things. So staying with it for those 4 weeks, 8 weeks, you know, 6 months, and even a year. And now you've been carnivore for 5 years. What else have you seen, more changes or things that you just want to celebrate from sticking with this lifestyle for 2,000 days?
I think that the biggest thing is just, you know, the biggest thing has been to learn how to deal with life and your emotions and stress and celebrations. Like, my life is no longer centered around food anymore. And it sounds interesting for people to think about that, considering I talk about food all day long on social media, but I don't feel like a slave to food anymore. You know, I used to be eating constantly all day long. I used to be obsessed about like, what is my next meal? What's it going to be? I was constantly hungry, having headaches. I needed food. Like, I just needed food. And it was 100% a drug for me. And I do feel so much freedom in, there is, for me, there's freedom in what some would consider the restriction of carnivore. But there's also this mindset around like, I'll eat when I get around to eating. I have a long day at work and I don't have a break until 2 p.m. Like, okay, I'll eat then. Like, my body is just comfortable getting fuel when it can, but I'm not in this constant obsession anymore about what can I eat? When can I eat? Where is it going to be? Like, there is this huge burden that is lifted from that. And then I think also, this is not a fun part and it's a hard part at first, but it's learning how to handle your stress and your emotions, you know, head on versus escaping and numbing those things with food. Because I definitely did that for the majority of my life, of using food as a way to numb whatever experiences I was going through in hopes that it would make me feel better. And unfortunately it does in the moment, but it really only makes things worse. And so that's been a big shift. The longer I stay with it, the more I realize like that I enjoy being in my life and even in the hard parts. It's something that I want to face and be fully present in.
I just want to thank the sponsor of this video, Element. Now, I know even Laura Spath and myself, we love Element, because especially if you're going from eating carbohydrates to not eating any carbohydrates, you can have a lot of side effects, especially at the beginning, because your body is trying to go into ketosis or a fat burning state. And that's why if you've tried salt in your meals, putting salt in your water, and it still doesn't work, you can try a supplement. And the one that I love is Element, because it contains the right amount of sodium, potassium, and magnesium. And the most important thing about Element is that it doesn't contain any sugars. There's no nasties, there's no additives, preservatives, there's nothing artificial in this that's going to affect your keto or your carnivore results. And me personally, I do like the raw, unflavored option. And right now, Element is offering this free sample pack on every order. So you're going to get 8 single servings of Element to try for free. So all you have to do is just go to drinkelement.com/5-minute-body. That's drinkelement.com/5-minute-body to get this free sample pack. let's just get back to the interview. So I think you mentioned something very important, which is the stress and being fully present. Because I feel that people, when they start carnivore, the biggest reason why they might quit or maybe not continue is because they indulge in something because it's an emotional event. So how do you handle stress? Because you're a mom of two kids, full-time job, YouTube channel, coaching group. What else? Podcast channel, your husband, you've got your mom, you've got a full life. And the thing is, you're very relatable because I think people also have a very busy life. So how do you handle stress? What are the practices that you do?
I don't have the secret to all of it, but I will say that I have an amazing partner and I have somebody that I communicate with. Chris and I just really communicate and try to handle everything together. That's a big part of it, but it is just, you know, I really focus on having one non-negotiable thing that I stick to. And I don't know, this isn't maybe the answer, but I really do focus on, I can't do everything perfect all the time. I can't have the perfect fasting window. I can't have the perfect macros. I can't worry about what my fat to protein ratio is, what my food is, like meal timing, like going to the gym perfectly. Like I can't handle all of those things because the more that I try to pile on myself in terms of expectations at the same time, the quicker everything completely falls apart. And I have a family that's a priority for me. Like I have, you know, my real job that's a priority for me. And so all of these things are going to take precedence. So the more, obviously I want to have specific fasting goals and I want to keep things in a certain meal timing and all that, but I can't put all of those expectations as urgent or like number one importance because the minute that they all fall apart, I feel like a failure. And then I did find myself in the pantry eating a jar of peanut butter with a spoon, right? Those are like, I can't let myself get to the point where I spiral in that way, where I feel like a failure. And so my biggest focus is picking one thing that's a non-negotiable for me. And so it's usually like stay carnivore. Like my goal is just like, no matter what happens, maybe I end up eating some pork rinds or a slice of cheese or something if I'm stressed out, but whatever, it is what it is. Like I did my best, okay? And it's like sometimes you need to give yourself a flexibility where then you're not beating yourself up and feeling like a failure. And I do think that when people take on like a 14-step way to lose weight or I'm going to do carnivore and it's going to be perfect and it's going to look exactly like this because somebody told me to do this, I think then when one of those things falls apart, I've always been somebody that just gives up on everything and goes back to completely eating junk. And just says like, well, I had one bite of something. I might as well just eat the whole pizza. And it's such an easy leap for me to justify that in my mind. And that's been the biggest thing. And also what's helped me to stick to this is just that like, okay, life happens. I have to learn to give myself grace. And that is way easier said than done. So maybe that's how I deal with the stress of it all is just by understanding like I can only do so much and I have to know what are my true priorities, which is like my family first, you know, and then after that can come my job. And then even after all of that is social media is really low on my priority list, to be honest. But within all of that, I have to know that like the one thing that I have to do to keep myself healthy and emotionally stable in order to handle it all is to stay carnivore. And then if everything else kind of falls apart and I don't make it to the gym for a couple of weeks, like, I'll work on that. I'll try again tomorrow because tomorrow's a new day. It's not about the first of the month or the next Monday that comes around. It's like, okay, well, I'll do better tomorrow. But at least today I like hung tight to this one thing that I know that I can do. And it's if people are having a hard time like completely falling off the wagon often, you got to make that non-negotiable thing even more simple. For me, a lot of times in 2020, it was like no peanut butter. My only non-negotiable thing was like no peanut butter. You just got to make it through one day without eating peanut butter and then you're going to be okay. And then like the end of the day, I was like, woo, I did it. It doesn't matter that I had 10 slices of cheese. I had no peanut butter. So tomorrow we're going to work on the cheese thing, but like, let's just focus on no peanut butter for a little while because that's what's triggering me to spiral the most.
I love that you said that. It is so simple, making the simple goals. And I see a little cute Christmas tree in the background because Christmas is coming. Holidays are coming. You know, people have birthdays every year. So you said that your goal is just to stay carnivore. How do you celebrate your birthday, somebody else's birthday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, and all the rest of it?
You know, there are people who can eat cake on their birthday, and there is public people, big names who are capable of like eating cake on their birthday and then getting back on track the next day. And I think if you can do that, do what you can do. I ate a lot of cake just because it was a Tuesday. Like, I don't need to be eating cake on my birthday right now, because I also know that that cake on my birthday is going to cause me to really kind of spiral out of control and eat cake every day for the next month and really struggle. All of those other stress and everything's just going to get compounded worse. So for me, it's still about finding special ways to celebrate. I mean, a lot of holidays and my birthday ends up being like, we're going to buy a fancy steak. Maybe we splurge and get like a prime steak that we normally wouldn't get, or we'll go do somewhere fun. You know, Christmas for us, our new Christmas tradition has turned into fancy steaks and crab legs, where, you know, we do that at home. We put crab legs on the smoker and we have some fancy steaks. And so we splurge and we get like, you know, a pricier meal. And then we eat some like fried cheese to go along with it. And I put little butter dishes with a candle at everybody's table. So we have like such a fun, festive experience where we turn, it still is, now we've created new traditions. You know, we do like a lot of really fun, special things, but we're still able to keep it carnivore. And I don't like, I look forward to this Christmas meal every year because I know I'm going to get like such a good steak and crab legs. And I love all of that experience. So I do think it's helpful. Like, I will never be one of those people that says like food is fuel and food is never for pleasure. And it's a drug to me. I can't not say that. And even within carnivore, it's part of the reason why it works so well is because I do enjoy the food so much and I still can go out to eat with my friends. I travel for work. I go to happy hours. Like, there's usually something I can find very effortlessly to eat at any restaurant. And it's not really that difficult. And that's a lot of the reason why I'm still able to have really fun, special meals on holidays and birthdays.
It's so simple when you just make it very easy. Like, you understand your own personality. And I think that people, when it comes to addiction, people don't like to hear about addiction or food addiction because maybe it's too much or they just don't want to get into it. And they just think, okay, I don't want to think about it. But understanding what is right for you is so important. If you can't have cake ever because it's going to send you on a spiral, don't have the cake. It doesn't work. You know, maybe you are addicted to food and that's okay because you recognize it and trying to get past it. So I think that's important because I think for some reason people don't want to hear about addiction.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think anytime that you try to talk about it or bring it up proactively, nobody's going to listen to it. But then when I drop little nuggets and then it's something that I think most people experience, but they either don't know that or they just don't want to face it because it feels like this huge thing to overcome. And I think it's a hard thing for people to think about food addiction. And I often hear people saying like, well, you still have to eat. It's not like drug and alcohol addiction where you can just cut those things out and be completely abstinent. But I have found a way to do that by cutting out carbs and sugar and focusing on it. I like that, you know, Dr. Syvest talks about like carb addiction and sugar addiction and not the food addiction part of it, because I can still eat food and I can still very much enjoy food. And it's still this wonderful experience for me. But I can't eat the carbs and the sugar because those are the things that like light up that crazy part of my brain and cause me to, you know, kind of get out of control. And so I really have to focus on, I abstain completely from carbs and sugar, but I am able to still enjoy very much the food and the meals that I'm eating every day.
Absolutely. And that's why you're getting such amazing results. And I want to talk about now the 10 things that you do on a regular basis, which gets you better carnivore results. So the first one that I have here is that you eat the meat that you can afford. So you shop at Costco and Walmart.
Absolutely. I think that we get really obsessed with, I think, you know, meat quality is important, but I mean, you know, Costco is the nation's largest meat buyer. They have very good quality in meat. It's very tasty. It's very nutritious. It's a great fatty ratio. Like for me, Walmart and Costco are actually a splurge. Those are like the fancy meats that I get when we're having a holiday. We're going to get some Costco steaks. We stocked up yesterday on sales that are from the regular grocery store that are even cheaper right now than Costco. And because of the Christmas holiday, Thanksgiving sales that are happening, you can get a lot of really good meat for cheap. I think, you know, there are people who will argue that there is a nutritional difference between grass-finished, regeneratively raised meat. And that's true. It is a very minimal difference. If you're worried about the omega-3-6 ratio difference, like I don't even go into it, but Judy and I have talked about it on a podcast before where it's like, yeah, there is a difference. It's so minimal. Like eat a little bit of salmon every once in a while and you've completely balanced out any ratio that you're worried about getting. Like we shouldn't be worrying about our omega-3-6 ratio from the beef that we're eating. Like eat a little fish sometimes and you'll be fine if you're worried about it. I think it's, there's several reasons. It's more expensive to eat that way, which is not something that my family can afford. You know, we're a single income family. My husband's a stay-at-home dad. We homeschool. Like, we are eating on a budget. Those things are, we have to be very cognizant of. This meat prices and inflation are seriously affecting most families. And we're one of them where we have to be careful of the choices that we make. And also, like, it's such a faux pas to say this, but grass-finished meat tastes terrible. Like, it tastes like grass. 100%.
It tastes like something weird. Like, I don't want to eat. Like, when I first tried it the first time, I thought, oh, this is grass. I was like, wow, this tastes terrible.
Yes. I even ate some, like, some chicken one time that was like, or, you know, free range vegetarian chicken. And I was like, this chicken tastes terrible. Like, it really just tastes crazy. And so, you know, I am careful. People, I think, are a little too obsessed and worried about, like, lab grown meat. I'm certainly not going to be eating lab grown meat, but that's just like, honestly, like, I'm not going to eat 3D printed meat or a lot of the fake stuff like that. Obviously, I'm not going to do that. But if you're worried about like lab grown, like, all vegetables are genetically modified and lab grown. Broccoli is not this, like, nobody in the 1800s was eating broccoli. Like, our ancestors were not eating broccoli and asparagus. Like, those are all vegetables that we have manufactured over time. And so whether or not it's labeled as organic or GMO and all those different things, like, I think sometimes, like, I'm just trying to do the best that I can. Like, I used to go to Chick-fil-A 3 times a day. Like, I used to eat Ben and Jerry's every single day. I think I'm doing pretty good. I've never been healthier. We have to just kind of do the best that we can at this point.
Totally agree. Next one. The amount and what you eat can change over time as you get closer to your optimal weight and you have healed.
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially in the beginning when I had 100 pounds to lose, I could eat a lot more often, a lot more dirty, I guess, if you would say, and still be able to lose weight. But I think the closer, you do have to get more and more strict over time, which is where I think a lot of people, when they hit that, like, their bottom goal weight, anybody I know, and maybe I'm wrong, anybody I know who has lost an extreme amount of weight has not ever stayed at their lowest weight ever. And I think it's just because it's a lot of work to do that. And it's not usually something that most people can do and sustain, like, a normal life. It's one thing to have a year where you just, like, put all of your focus into losing weight. But, like, most people I know that have lost over 100 pounds sit about 10 to 20 pounds higher than their lowest weight ever. And a lot of that is just because you need the nutrients, your body needs fuel. You know, you're just, it's too hard to sustain being that low all the time. And then also just live a normal life as well. So I used to be able to sit and eat tons of food at once, and it'd be like one meal a day was perfect for me because I used to eat a whole pizza and a pint of ice cream at once. But over time, I just can't eat that much anymore. And so most of the time, I do have to eat two meals a day simply because my body needs have changed and I just can't eat the volume of food that I used to anymore.
And this one goes to the next thing, which is don't follow what somebody else eats, eating certain macros. And it's also, you used to share your portions, which you don't do anymore.
Yeah. I used to be very specific of saying, like, I'm eating this amount of ounces of meat and this time. And I like to share. People obviously want to have examples of what they can eat. And I try to show a lot of different meals, but how much and when I'm eating isn't going to be right for you necessarily. And I think that the macro thing gets a little crazy, that we all try to, like, hit certain macros. Like, not only are my macros not going to be the same for you, but, like, my macros are not the same every day. Some days I exercise, some days I don't. Where you are in your cycle, I have not dug into all of that. A lot of people are very good about knowing their luteal phase, and I don't have any clue about when and what I should be eating. But some days I'm hungrier, and I know that. And some days I'm not as hungry. And so you're going to eat more or less depending on the needs of your body. And so I think that, you know, trying to force specific macros is not great. And I think that too often we get caught up in, like, watching somebody's results and then trying to mirror that exactly in order to have the same results. And it does not work that way at all. At all. We are all have different stages of healing, different ages, different activity levels, different things that we need to heal in our bodies. Even if I had to do it all over again, I don't know if I would lose weight the same way again that I did the first time. I think we just have to, it's definitely not the same story for everybody.
I think what you said, which I think is on here, but I'll say it anyway, which is initially you weren't eating enough protein. So now are you focusing on eating, I guess, not counting macros, but you understand the importance of having more protein, especially more than we've been told. What how much do you eat now in terms of protein?
If anything that I track, it would be that. I just try to, like, every week or two, or honestly, like, Chris is my tracker in a sense. Like, after a couple of days, he's like, hey, you only ate one meal the last 2 days and you're definitely not eating enough. Like, he's kind of my little accountability partner in that, where we obviously eat lunch together every day. And he's like, hey, you haven't eaten. And I'm like, oh yeah, I got to eat dinner. Like, it's just really a pain. I'm never hungry for dinner. And it's just, my life is too busy. I don't have time for dinner, but I need to eat dinner to get in enough protein. I really try to focus on getting in like 120 to 140 grams of protein a day. I love the that 1 gram of protein per pound of lean body mass. So kind of like, if you were at your thinnest and fittest and like ideal weight, how much protein would you need? And for me, that's like around 140 grams. And so I just, every once in a while, I'll throw something into a tracker every few weeks, couple times a month, and just make sure like, hey, how much am I eating? I try to do that to share people as well. Like, I had 4 eggs, a bunch of bacon, and some cheese the other day. And I was like, this is a huge plate full of like scrambled eggs and bacon and cheese. And it's like 800 calories. And it's a decent amount of protein. But, you know, 1 egg has 6 grams of protein in it. And so my 4 eggs and a bunch of bacon was like 40 grams of protein. I need 140 grams in a day. And so it is really important for people to realize you can't just eat a big plate of bacon and eggs for the day. And then just because you're not hungry again, think that like that's okay. You definitely will experience weight loss stalls from under eating, hair loss, muscle loss, and a lot of other issues if you're under eating protein over time.
I love that you said that, because I think people, look, if they're just starting, yes, eat the bacon and eggs. But I think as you fine tune, you have to have enough protein. And I know that people, even on my group, they're like, really, I have to eat this much protein? It is damn hard. I'm like, yep. When you're not used to that number, it is hard. And the funny thing is, when you eat that much protein, you're very satiated. So whether it be weight loss, fat loss, your body composition, it just improves so much easier when you prioritize protein.
And over time, you'll get hungrier. Like that can ramp up a little bit, like, because your body is just not used to eating as much. And I think you can change, your metabolism will pick up and that will change over time.
This one I love. You don't snack. Is that right?
I try not to. Again, this is the non-negotiable thing. Like, I want to get in enough protein, but that's like, okay, I didn't eat enough protein for the day, but I stayed carnivore. Like, all right, we'll try again tomorrow. And like, yeah, I don't snack, but like, okay, well, whoops, I had some cheese and I had some pork rinds. Like, okay, I don't snack because I know it's emotional, but it's also not my non-negotiable. So if and when it happens, I don't feel that bad about it. And I just move on the next day. So I try not to snack.
You try not to snack. So you try to have enough food at the meals so that you feel full, so that you don't need to snack. Because when you keep snacking, that can affect your results as well. The next one is, this is a good, cheese and dairy as a condiment.
Yes. I have learned, I mean, listen, I could definitely eat a whole brick of cheese in one sitting. That is a, you know, but now I've turned this into, I've cut out dairy completely many times doing carnivore. It's not a lot of fun for me. I don't want to live my life like that. Like, this is where, is it better to cut out dairy? Would you lose? I would probably live my life 5 pounds lighter if I cut out dairy completely, but I also would be 100% more grumpy. Like, I need to enjoy, this has to work for me to sustain this long-term. And having sour cream to dip some meat in sometimes, having some cheese on top of a steak, feta cheese on top of a steak, having a little bit of butter in my eggs. Like, those are all things that I, and it makes me enjoy this so much more. And then I'm not looking around going like, what else can I eat? Because I'm satisfied and I've just enjoyed this really special meal. Cheese is also something that we incorporate a lot on holidays and special occasions. Like, we'll fry up some cheese and I'll eat way too much cheese on Christmas. But you know what? That's what made Christmas special. And I still stuck to my non-negotiable of staying carnivore, but gave myself that flexibility. So on a day-to-day basis, I definitely try to treat cheese as like a condiment or a dessert rather than being like a main piece of my meal.
And the funny thing is that when you're doing carnivore for a long time, cheese is a dessert. It becomes a dessert, or dairy is like your biggest dessert. It's like, this is so sweet. How did I not know this before?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. This one you focused on before, which was quite interesting. Fasting is a great tool if it works for you, but don't overdo it.
Absolutely. I still am a big proponent of fasting, even though like I kind of overdid it before and it was causing me issues. I think if you are somebody who deals with emotional eating, fasting for me is a great way for me to remind my body that like, you're just eating because you're emotional and just because it's routine for you, you actually weren't physically hungry. And if I do a 40-hour fast occasionally, it's like, man, I really didn't realize like I wasn't actually hungry part of that. So it definitely helps me connect emotional hunger versus physical hunger. Helps me to dial in with that. Also, it's a really fantastic weight loss tool and it's a great way to lever and reduce inflammation. I'm a big fan of it. The biggest thing though is that you have to be eating an adequate amount between your fasts. I don't think most women can do regular 48-hour fasts because you can't eat enough in between in order to fuel your body properly. It's one thing if you're eating an adequate amount, 2,000 calories a day, and then you skip a day. Great, no problem, back to it. But if you start under eating every single day, that's when you start having hair loss and muscle loss and your weight loss is going to stall and all of your body functions are really going to slow down because you're just really lowering that basal metabolic rate. So fasting is an amazing tool. I don't eat breakfast most days, but if I do an intense workout at 5:30 in the morning, I'm going to eat breakfast after that because my body needs fuel for it. So I think it's a great lever, but you have to make sure that you're eating enough on the other side of it.
Okay. Next one is, this is good. Don't do a trend and be so strict. Enjoy the lifestyle and don't have fruit and honey.
Yeah. So fruit and honey for me are just that's the sugar triggers. I think, if you're a fit bro and you've never experienced type 2 diabetes and insulin resistance and you exercise all the time and you don't have food addiction issues, eat your fruit and honey. It's no big deal. But I'm going to eat that and then it's going to cause me to eat, I can't have a little handful of blueberries occasionally. I'm going to eat the whole container and then I'm going to put whipped cream on it and then I'm going to put some ice cream on it. It's just not something that most people who have ended up obese and overweight and insulin resistance can handle the moderation of those things. What was the other thing we said? What was the first part of that? Sorry.
The one that you did a really good video on that I watched and I was like, go Laura, don't do a trend. Can we just stop these trends, please? I love that video.
I think that sometimes we are so impatient to lose weight because it is so hard and it is such a burden. And we feel like if I can just lose the weight, then everything will be fixed and I'll just be able to be normal and it will be easier. And I'm telling you, that is not how it works. And the faster that you lose the weight, it's almost the harder that it is to keep off because you haven't done it in a way that's sustainable for you long term. And I think that a lot of times we have people have good thoughts around, there's some idea or a hack or a trick or whatever, and it started by a doctor or something. But then in this viral world that we live in, it turns into a 30, 60 second reel and it just gets thrown around and it goes viral. And then everybody's like, oh, this is, we should only eat this for every day forever and I'll lose weight. And we're all just looking for, a shortcut or something that's going to let us drop weight really fast. And we get really swept up in somebody's results because they look good and they're saying that I should do this. And so I should do that. And then it's going to work for me. And unfortunately, from what I see in my locals community and just from people that I talk to online, usually they go down that rabbit hole. They try that trend. It's not something that anybody is going to stick to long term. And then they find themselves, for whatever reason, completely falling off the wagon and going all the way back to their old ways and being three steps backwards when they were just trying to jump ahead in the first place. And it is 100% the tortoise and the hare analogy of you just have to figure out slow and steady. And if you're complaining about only losing 1 pound a week, that's 52 pounds in a year. And I promise you, you're going to end up being more successful over time with consistency than you are with dropping a quick 20 pounds, but then you can't sustain that. And so then you gain back 30. And I only know that because I've done it time and time and time again.
Okay. Next one. Oh, this was really, really good, which I learned about you. You don't do cheat days. This is not a diet, the carnivore diet. It's not a diet for you. Know your why and know that temptation will arise and know how to address it.
Yeah. I think again, some people might be able to handle those cheat days, but it's something that I know that would just only cause me to get off track and spiral. And one day would turn to two, to turn into a month. And then I could gain back that weight so fast. It would be I literally could take a couple of months off social media and pop back up and have gained 50 pounds. And it would be not a challenge for me. And so I just know that I personally can't handle it. And it actually is a lot less stressful to not have any cheat days than to have them. And yet the stress that it takes to get back on track again is so much harder. So that's a big part of it. And, it is easy to say to say like you have to make this a lifestyle and it's not about being a diet, but it really does you have to figure out like how to have celebrations like we talked about earlier. But also like, what is it that's still going to make you enjoy doing this? Like, think you can't live in one of those extremes, one of those extreme trends long-term, because it's not going to work with you have to make this about the life that you want to live, and being able to adjust those things. And I think it is really hard in the moment to say no to the holiday treats and the desserts that you're going to find and all the side dishes and the carbs and stuff that are going to pop up at the holidays. But I promise you, you know, the next day you're going to be so glad that you did, and you're going to be really proud of yourself, and you're not actually going to have missed it. My biggest piece of advice is just to tell yourself like, not now. Like, I can't tell you how many Christmases I said, like, I get really obsessed. This is the old person in me. Like, I get so obsessed with like the seasonal limited edition foods, like the Christmas foods, the stuff that you can only find at Christmas. And I still like, my heart rate starts racing when I see the little Debbie Christmas cakes. I'm like, oh, I gotta stock up. Like, it's just really, you get like this obsession about it because it's your drug, and you know, it's limited edition and you have it now. It's why like there's in the US, there's like these certain cookie companies who change their flavors every week, and they create this like scarcity mentality of like, you have to eat this now or you may never have it again. And we get so obsessed with that. And so rather than telling myself of like, you can never have that again forever the rest of your life, because then I'm like, I need it. It's telling myself like, not now. This is there every year. You can have it next time. It'll be there next year. Like, one Halloween, you can make it through with no candy. One Christmas, one time. And obviously the goal is not to have it later, but sometimes it's like, okay, that food is there tomorrow. I could have it tomorrow if I wanted to. I'm choosing not to have it today. And it's the one day at a time. And then, you know, I can't tell you when we first started out how many times Chris and I actually planned a cheat day. Like, hey, on our anniversary, let's have a cheat day. Or on Christmas, let's do this. And then we get there and it's like, okay, actually, it's not really that worth it anymore. Like, I was super pumped about this, but I'm feeling really good right now and I don't want to ruin that. So let's just wait a little longer. But it's never been this like, I will never cheat again, because then I'm going to start going, what can I go get right now? I get too panicky with that. So I have to just constantly be telling myself like, it's there if you want it. But like, I don't have to make that decision now because I feel too good. I don't want to ruin it.
Absolutely. And I know that when I used to binge a lot. So I would, you know, really binge and just eat, even binge on healthy foods. But I know that like from researching all these things about addiction and overeating, and like even when you're on a diet or doing so well, and then you want to eat something or have a cheat day, usually it's the anticipation of doing it because it's exciting and the first bite. And then after that, it's all downhill, because then you feel all these feelings of guilt and not doing the right thing. And the next, so that's how I think about it. You're just excited about that anticipation. Once it's done and once you've had that one bite, you're going to feel like crap.
Yeah, absolutely. And most people can't stop with that one bite. So inevitably you are going to end up feeling terrible. And then it's going to cause this shame spiral. It's also why I'm so flexible on that non-negotiable, is like, I'm not going to let the fact that like I had a piece of cheese or I had something that's not BBB&E, right? Like, I had some pork, like, okay, like they understand that. The concept of that, even Dr. Barry would tell you, like, it's okay if you have some chicken. Like, the whole point is to give you a simple way of explaining like healthy foods that you can eat. I think a lot of times though, we just get like so obsessed with whatever that trend is that then we have the one thing, and then that shame spiral. You're having a piece of cheese, you're having something that's just like some extra protein because you're hungry. You're giving yourself that same shame spiral within carnivore or within things that are so much better for you. Like, that's what I think we have to be careful of, is not turning carnivore into this like another fad diet that ends up the same thing as if you were to have a binge on carbs and sugar. Is because you had like a snack at some pork rinds at 10 o'clock at night when you shouldn't have. Like, we can't treat those things as equal in our minds. Or we're just going to go back and eat a whole package of Oreos.
And so the last one, again, is talking about what we're talking about, which is understand that if you're a moderator or you need complete restriction, you need restriction. I need restriction. But some people can moderate. I don't know who, but know your personality.
I'll tell you what, most people who can handle moderation were never obese in the first place. And I do have, like, my brother does keto and he's like always been like pretty fit, and he had some weight he needed to lose, but he's never dealt with this like obsessive food thing the way that I have. And a lot of people are capable of like having something occasionally and getting back on track. But I would say that I have never seen anybody who has been like obese or morbidly, you know, like morbidly obese like I was, and actually then ever been able to go back to moderating foods.
Okay, let's switch gears and now talk about your beautiful mom and her carnivore results. I know that you helped her switch to carnivore. What has happened to your mom's health from switching to relaxed carnivore?
You know, I can't even take credit for it myself because she would never listen to me at all. She needed like my husband, Chris, and other Dr. Barry and all of these other people to like convince her that it was okay. When I was doing it, it was like, you know, crazy and I was gonna have a heart attack and all this kind of stuff. So she wouldn't listen to me, but she has had type 2 diabetes previously. She has Hashimoto's. She has had ankle replacement surgeries and several shoulder surgeries. You know, she has arthritis. She has experienced like a lot of health issues, and a lot of that is weight related. And she has completely reversed her type 2 diabetes. She's off all medications. You know, she's lost a lot of weight. She has been able to really stabilize her hormones and really stabilize her Hashimoto's is kind of the best that it's ever been. Her inflammation, she knows, like if she eats something that's not carnivore, her inflammation in her ankles really bothers her. So she can tell you like very specific foods that if she eats something that's not carnivore, it's going to cause her issues 100%. But we say relaxed, like she'll eat some vegetables here and there occasionally. She'll eat a piece of like keto chocolate occasionally. But she knows like she definitely has those foods that have to be off limits for her as well that she can't moderate. She eats too many nuts. Because she's feeling a little more relaxed, she's going to get inflammation, she's going to get digestive issues, joint issues, a lot of that stuff as well.
So it's interesting. I think I heard on one of your videos that your mom says, people say to her, oh, when are you going to go back to eating normal again?
Yeah. I think a lot of her friends, you know, she has a lot less of a community of people that do this in her real life. Like she has a lot of friends who more just eat like a normal diet. And that's something that she kind of, people expect for you to just one day like hit your weight loss goals or hit your goals and get better and then go back to normal again. And, you know, we both know that we would gain all of our weight back if we did that. And it would be really easy to do that. And our health would just rapidly decline again. And so she knows that like this has to be her baseline of what she eats in order to stay healthy. And, you know, anytime that she's incorporated too much fruit, like she's definitely one person where she thinks she's having a quarter cup of blueberries, but it's really a cup of them with some whipped cream on top. And then her A1C starts going up and, you know, she finds herself like at risk of needing to incorporate medication again. And so she's like, okay, I can't do that. I got to go back to eating no fruit for a while. And, you know, she really has to figure out what those limits are for her.
What about Chris, your husband? He's also carnivore, which I think people know Chris on your YouTube channel. You do videos with Chris. What was his journey going to carnivore?
You know, he's really the story in all of this. I had some weight loss and it's a pretty cool before and after picture, but Chris's is the story that is like the true testament to what carnivore can do and heal for you. He was very severely type 2 diabetic. He had sleep apnea, high blood pressure. He was on a huge list of prescriptions. He had a lot of issues with nerves. So most people I think know he contracted the flesh eating bacteria, which is necrotizing fasciitis. And it was just like a little infection that started on his arm. But when your body is diabetic, you can't fight off infection. And that's why people lose their feet. People lose their legs due to diabetic complications is because you don't have good circulation that gets down to your feet. You get a little sore or an issue on your foot, and then the circulation and healing can't happen to it. So he was in the hospital at his heaviest weight of, 300 pounds and had this little infection. And ended up being there for, you know, months and months and had dozens of surgeries in order to try to save his arm and his life. And his body just couldn't respond to those antibiotics. And so a normal, healthy person might've got this infection, taken some antibiotics and it got better. His body couldn't do that. And they ended up having to like cut out all the infected flesh in order for him to heal. He has been one meal a day, strict carnivore for 5.5 years now. He, you know, lost that 100 pounds initially, has really been stable completely ever since. He really doesn't deviate from that one meal a day. Maybe if we're on vacation, he'll like have some snacks with us. Again, carnivore snacks, but that's the non-negotiable is like he'll have some snacks outside of that window, but he really prefers just to like sit down and have a big lunch every day of a bunch of steaks. And he's within, I would say like, you know, obviously he was losing weight right away, but then within, you know, 60, 90 days, he was off of his sleep apnea machine. He immediately went off of his high blood pressure medication. He was off all of his diabetes medications within about 30 days. He was, I'm trying to think, like he had skin tags. Like one of the signs of insulin resistance is skin tags. And those were all just like falling off and quit coming around. He just really experienced like tremendous healing. And all the, he takes zero prescriptions now. You know, he's having surgery on Monday. And I know the doctors are already going to be so shocked that like he's 48-year-old man coming in like on zero prescriptions. It's just completely unheard of. And it's 100% carnivore has saved his life. And I know for a fact he would not be here with us today and our kids and our family if he had not made this drastic change.
That is incredible. It's so incredible when you hear all these stories. And that's why I like to hear from real life carnivores, because I think that people think carnivore is hard and how can I do it? People don't support me. But the fact that, you know, your mom's doing it, your husband's doing it, you're making healthier choices for your kids. I know your kids aren't strict carnivore, right?
No. And we debate going back and forth on that. I think like I grew up so strict in one way of no processed foods. And then the minute I had access to them, it was like Taco Bell, gas station, donuts. Like I went crazy. And so I do, like I want them to learn to moderate better than I can. Like I don't care if they have a cake on their birthday, but they don't need to be eating it every day. And I hope, I don't know what the right thing is to do with kids, but we don't keep those things in our home. We talk a lot about like too much sugar makes you sick. It's obviously not about weight, but like mom and dad ate way too much sugar for too long and it made us sick. And so that's why we don't eat any now. And you can have a little sugar, but if you eat it every day and you eat it too often, then it's going to make you sick. And so you have to figure out like how those foods are going to make you feel. And it's more about like frequency and getting enough protein in. They don't snack at all. They eat three meals a day that are all protein first. And so we focus on, you know, protein makes you healthy and strong and you need protein first. And then afterwards, like my daughter loves a salad and she loves vegetables. My son, other than like cold green beans out of a can, like he's not going to eat a vegetable. But they really like it's, I have no worries about them not eating vegetables because I do know that they eat a lot of meat and they're getting the nutrients they need from the meat. But if they want to eat a vegetable, if they want to have some fruit, sometimes like I don't care about and I'm not really going to stress out too much.
Yeah, I don't think it's the excess of I don't think it's vegetables as a whole topic that is so, it's like the excess of it that is so bad. The excess of anything, even protein can be so bad. So when you see these extremes on social media, it's just like, you know, I don't know. That's just a side thing. It just gets a bit too much.
Yeah. And that's why we eat a very extreme way for like a lot of people would consider carnivore extreme. Like I want my kids to just like to figure out what their normal is and to understand moderation in a way that I don't want them to have to be in this, like to live this extreme way. Like I'm also trying to reverse a lifetime of metabolic damage and disease and they're not, I'm just trying to prevent disease. And it's a whole different way that you need to eat when you're preventing a disease versus when you are reversing it all.
That is such a good point because carnivore, especially, this is another question I had for you. Do you think that not just you, but other people that have healed their metabolic disease, do you think you have to be carnivore lifelong or can you go back to keto?
I don't think you have to be carnivore long-term. And I think a lot of people find a balance. Like once they heal, they do find a balance of saying like, what can I incorporate and what can I not? And that maybe even so, you know, like I can incorporate some pickles occasionally. On our anniversary, I had some like red onion. Like, so maybe that wouldn't, those are things that I've found that like I can do occasionally.
It's like you did this. It's like, oh, I had red, like, it's not even a big deal. It's like people want you to be perfect, you know?
Right. But you have to figure out like, what are, again, this is not, I think sometimes we get so obsessed with like, who can be the carnivore, the best carnivore, the longest? And like, that's not the goal of my life. The goal of my life is to enjoy my life and to also be healthy long-term. And so I know I can't incorporate sugars for those reasons, but like if I, you know, had something, a bite of something else occasionally, depending on what that is, like I'm totally fine with it. And I do think most people who do this long-term and are enjoying it, find some version of like keto-vore, like carnivore meat based, but then there's a one or two things or a few handful of things that they can incorporate. I know a lot of people that do strict carnivore throughout the year, but then on the holidays, they might do some keto stuff. Like there is no right or wrong way to do that. You just have to figure out like, what are you able to handle and tolerate? And I think that's where we get a little bit weird in the carnivore community is, you know, figuring out like, what are the rules? Like, I really could care less on like what the rules are. I just know like, here's what I have to do in order to stay healthy. And I don't have time to worry about like what somebody's telling me the rules are.
That's why we love you, Laura, because you're so real. I love watching your videos. Like, this is me shopping Costco, and this is like what I eat and how I cook and like real life. And actually, you're doing it. It's a real life and you're making it simple, not trying to overcomplicate it. Laura, how can people find you?
You can just search Laura Spath on most places. So on YouTube, Laura Spath, or on Instagram. And then if you want to ask questions or hang out or have more content, behind the scenes stuff, you can come to lauraespath.locals.com.
I'm going to leave everything in the show notes so people can find you, Laura, and check out everything that you're doing. But thank you so much for your time, and I'm sure we're going to see you very soon. I hope you enjoyed the interview with Laura. Now you need to watch this video next with Rebecca. She'll talk about how to get faster carnivore results that I know that you want. I'll see you guys next week.